There is a word from the Lord on today that shall come forth from the book of Acts, and we will read in your hearing a portion from the third and the fourth chapters. Once again, a portion from the third and the fourth chapters. And as always, we are reading according to the New American Standard Version. And we're going to start at verse 1 in Acts 3. It reads as follows. It said, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, 'Look at us.' And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk.' And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. "And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening." I'd like to speak for just a moment from our ongoing theme and thesis entitled, "When God is in the Fight." When God is in the fight. From our reading, it's easy to ascertain here from Scripture, having recorded some of the ongoings and the activities of the early followers of Jesus Christ, namely the apostles, and in particular, Peter and John in this instance. They simply gave the man what they had, which was the power of the name of Jesus to change that man's situation. He wanted silver and gold. He was used to begging alms. He was used to asking for money, but they told him they didn't have any money. But they had something else. They gave him Jesus Christ. They gave him the blessings of the Lord. They gave him the favor of the Lord. They gave him the healing power of the Lord. And for that, the church leadership put him in jail.
That's right.
Lord have mercy today. So what we want to examine once again is knowing when God is in the fight. Amen. Understanding what that means, what that brings, and the power of God that's at work on our behalf, representing the presence of God in our every fight. Amen. Now, lest we assume some things, we want to break down for the listeners who are under the sound of my voice at this time. Amen. Whether that be through our podcast or whether that be through evangelism radio or where you may be in the country here in the United States or around the world. Amen. We want you to understand that God is in the fight, number one, when you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. God is in your fight. We want you to understand that you have a fight. If you don't know you have a fight, then we want to serve notice to you that we have an adversary. His name is Satan. And according to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. Any person that thinks they're going to live this life without opposition, without hardship, without difficulty, might want to think again. Because the word says that man born of a woman is but of a few days, and those are full of troubles. So you're going to have some challenges in life. You're going to have some issues. You're going to have some obstacles. But that's what makes life life. And with the help and grace of God and with his favor, we can not only survive, but we can thrive. Amen. And live life with the fullness of joy and the bountifulness of the blessings of God, because he is in our fight. Amen. So when we say when God is in the fight, we want to qualify the statement. And then I want to dare you. I dare you to be faithful to God. I want to dare you to commit your heart to living for God. I want to dare you to resolve within yourself to seek and to serve God, to worship God, to praise God, to honor God, to live for God. Because when you make that resolve, Satan will come after you like he's never come after you before, because he knows that he's lost you. And he's going to do one or two things, everything he can to get you back or to destroy your life to keep you from serving God. And you better know that you've got a fight on your hands if you've made the commitment to live for God. He will lie, he will deceive, he will cheat, he will do anything he can to try to destroy the life of the believer, the one who is committed to living for God, because he knows one thing. Not only has he lost him, but he knows that the person who has Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has the power to destroy his kingdom by bringing others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. And because he's out to steal, kill, and destroy as many lives, as many souls as he can, that puts the believer in opposition to Satan. So you better understand that you have an adversary. Number one, just because you are a creation of God. Amen. And number two, when you become a child of God, Amen. The enemy will heighten his attacks. So it's important that we know how to hide ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Through honoring him, through trusting, honoring, and obeying him as Lord and Savior of our lives. Yeah, when God is in the fight. Amen. We see here in verse 1 of this third chapter, Peter and John were just on their way to church. Boy, a lot of stuff can happen on the way to church. You better pray with me. Because the devil don't want you to get here. Amen, somebody. Amen. The devil don't want you to get to church. Now if it's a church that folks not serving God, if it's one of them places where it's just a gathering and the word of God isn't being preached and the standard of God is not being upheld and the praise and worship of God is not, if it's one of them kind of play, one of them country clubs, oh, he won't mind you getting there. He'll meet you there. He'll party with you. But if the name of Jesus is being lifted up and his name is being proclaimed and his people are living his life out, that church, Satan don't want you to get to. Yeah, he doesn't want you to get there where Jesus is Lord. Peter and them was on their way to church. They was on their way to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And he says, and a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. Now, let me just stop for just a moment. As I said, this man was used to begging alms. The temple where he was at was called Beautiful. That word translated out of the Greek literally means belonging to a particular season. Somebody better walk with me. I'm getting ready to do some teaching.
Amen.
See, I've heard a lot of Christians talk about it's my season. And boy, they'll go around chanting that and, oh, it's my season. Oh, yeah, the Lord's going to move in my life. The Lord is blessing in my life. As if it's one day or one week or one month or one year. And they got to do it now for they see. Listen, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, when we as Christians accept Jesus Christ as Lord, all of time and eternity is your season.
Come on now.
Oh, you better hear me today. I said all of time and eternity is your season. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying. Let's reference, if you would, John, the fifth chapter. Hold your place here in Acts, the third chapter. John, the fifth chapter. And let's go just for a moment to verse 1. Because Jesus encountered a similar situation as Peter and John. There was a man sitting at a gate in a bad situation. He too was lame. Amen, somebody. Two men outside of a gate, lame. Jesus encountered one. Peter and John encountered another. Both men ended up no longer lame. Amen. But I want you to get an analysis, if you will, since this gate that is called Beautiful translates out into the Greek as the word of the place of season. Okay? It says here in verse 1, it says, after these things there was a feast, and starting at verse 1 of John 5, of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons, remember that word, seasons, into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. Now notice the closeness and proximity of the time of suffering. The man in Peter and John's situation was 40 years. This man had been ill for 38 years, very close in time. Verse 6 says, here in this fifth chapter of John, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, do you wish to get well? And you know, if I had time today, somebody gonna make me preach. See, if I had time today, this question would be a great question to put on the floor for all of humanity.
That's right.
Do you want to get well?
Come on, preach.
See, because a lot of folk are talking about what they do have and what they don't have and what they need and what they want. And many times some of those same people are working against the very thing that they ask, that they say and they want for God. Some folks say they want a blessing from God, but they're working night and day toward the curse, because they're disobeying God, dishonoring God in their lives.
My God.
Some folk are saying, I want the Lord to change my life, but they keep going back to the same old ways, doing the same old things. So the question on the floor is do you want to get well?
Do you want to get well?
That's the question that Jesus asked this man. And let me tell you something, if there's not a more blessed time in your life than when God is desiring to do something great in your life,
amen,
to bless your life, to move in your life. And for all of humanity, he stands before us and he asks us that question, do you want to be well? Starting with a sin-sick soul. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth upon him shall be saved. Romans, the 10th chapter, said it this way. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I ask all of humanity, do you want to get well?
Do you want to get well?
Or you're just putting on airs?
What a word.
Or you're just acting out and play acting as if you were an actor, an actress on a stage. See, because a lot of folk got to act like they want to do what's right. A lot of folk act like they want to have some things, or they want to achieve some things in their life, that they want to have the blessings of God in their life, but they're not willing to commit or to have the resolve of trusting, honoring, and obeying God to get it into their life. So the question on the floor, do you want to get well? Or are you just acting like it? Are you just, see, because a person may be able to fool man some of the time, but you can't fool God, what? None of the time, because God looks at the heart of man. He looks at the inward parts to find out what's really there in a person's life. So the question on the floor is, do you want to get well? Or are you just dressing up to act like you want to be better? Did you want to do better? And you're just putting on a show. Yeah, do you want to get well? This man here responded to this question in verse 7 this way. He said, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. He's not a good listener. And you know what I found out? A whole lot of folk had that same issue. See, God is telling them one thing and they keep doing something else. God is asking of them one thing and they keep on answering something else. See, communication skills need to be effective. And one needs to matriculate and move toward the excellence of communication with God and with man. But Mama once told me some folk baby just got a bad understanding. And maybe that was this man's condition. I'm going to scratch my head and wonder. Because God asked him, do you want to get well? And he started talking about all kinds of other things other than getting well. He started talking about problems that he'd been dealing with for 38 years. Amen, somebody. About whether somebody could put him in the pool. Man, he didn't ask you whether there was somebody to put you in the pool or not. He asked you if you wanted to get well. See, if he knew who was speaking with him, he would have been leaping up and asking Jesus, please heal me.
Amen.
He would have grabbed hold to his legs and said, Lord, make me whole.
Amen.
But God asked him. See, some folk, I believe, in this life struggle to honor God as God.
Yes.
See, because God is speaking to them through his word.
Amen.
And they steady answering other things. God is speaking to them by his spirit. Through the taught word, through the preached word, through the prophesied word. And they're steady responding to a different question. Dancing to a different beat. He asked them, did you want to get well? But he said, there's nobody to put him in the pool when the water stirred up. Can I stop long enough to tell you something? For those folk who are clamming after season, they're seeking a stirring. God just doesn't want to stir things up in your life. He's wanting to shake it up in your life.
Amen,
amen somebody. Amen. See, because when God moves, there's a quaking and a shaking.
Amen.
Yeah, God's interested in doing more than stirring. When the angels came down, there was a stirring. But God is before us now here today. The Lord Jesus Christ has rent the veil of the temple, and we have access to our Maker and our Creator. God's interested in shaking things up in your life, not just giving a light stir. Jesus is talking about being well. He's talking about whoever somebody can put him in the pool. Jesus is talking about totally transforming his life, and he's talking about some stirring. Nobody to put him in the water when it is stirred up. He says, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, see, you know, I thank God for his mercy and for his grace and for his loving kindness. Jesus just had to look beyond this man's fault and see his need. The fact that he was a poor listener. The fact that he failed to know who he was speaking to. To honor God as God. Jesus, and I thank God for that. Because I know I was a plum fool. Amen, somebody. I said I was a plum fool. Food wasn't enough. I was a plum fool. Because when Jesus came knocking on the door of my heart back in 1983 on the campus of Prairie View A&M University, I told the Lord, let me tell you how big of a plum fool I was. I told the Lord I didn't want to be saved. Oh, you better hear me today. I told him, I said, Lord, I don't want to be saved. I got all of this sin I want to do. All these pretty women out here. All this trouble I want to get into. All of my life that I want to destroy and ruin and throw away. Don't save me now. Wait till I'm old and on my deathbed and I've got nothing left to give you, and then save me. See, that is the very nature of sin. It's self-centered. It's self-centered and self-serving. And folk that are embroiled in sin, all they can think about is themselves. But a God-centered life is focused on pleasing God. Amen. On making God happy. Amen. But the person who's embroiled and enthralled in sin, all they can think about is themselves. And the very self that they think about, rather than the God who ought to be at the center, is the very self that causes their own destruction and their own demise. They end up ruining their own lives, destroying their own lives. The Bible says that the one who loses his life for the sake of the Lord is the one who gains it. But the one who gains it is the one who loses it. Yeah, he wanted to know here whether somebody, or wanted to respond to somebody about nobody being able to put him in the pool. But Jesus, through his mercy, through his grace, and through his loving kindness, Amen. Looked beyond this man's faults Amen. And saw his needs. And by the way, that's how I got saved. Amen. The Lord looked beyond my stupidity and my plum foolishness. Amen, somebody. And saved me anyhow. I said, and saved me anyhow. Because he put me in a situation where I had to call on him. Amen. Because I had done it all my way. I had done everything I knew to do. And I didn't have any choice left but to call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And he saved me anyhow. Amen. Verse 8 says that Jesus said to him, arise, take up your pallet and walk. Yeah. He didn't even bother to answer his foolish response. Man, get up from there. that's basically what he get yourself up from there. Ain't nobody ask you nothing about whether somebody want to put you in the pool. I ask you, do you want to be whole? Amen. Did you want to be made well? Get up from there. Amen. Wow. Cut all this foolishness out, waiting around for nothing when I'm standing here before you ready to bless you. Yeah, arise, take up your pallet, and walk. Verse 9 says, and immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. Now watch this now. He was waiting on a season. You better hear me today. See, because the angel came down, huh? Ain't that what verse 4 said? It said the angel of the Lord went down at a certain season. He was steady waiting on a season. But what he did not know is that Jesus is the season.
Yes, he is.
Amen, somebody. Amen. God is the season.
Amen. Hey.
If a person can get to God, they never have to worry about season again.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
if he can get to God, he got. So when I see Christians going around talking about it's my season, what else your season you think it could be? When Jesus Christ is Lord. When he's already told you that he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or think. What season you think it can be? What season do you think it'd be when he said that by his stripes you are healed? You don't have to wait for a season. When he says that anything that you ask in my name, I will do it. No season required. No season required. And so it was here with this man that they gave him in the book of Acts, the third chapter, as we transition back to our main text. They gave him Jesus. Verse 6 said, but Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. And when you read on through verse 7 through 9, the word of God said that the man went from being lame to leaping. Oh, you better hear me today. He went from being lame to leaping.
Amen.
And from leaping to laboring. Oh, if I had some time now.
Yeah.
See, God does not make us whole. He does not save us to sit and soak.
Come on.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
See, you got some folk that want to get saved and then they just think they can just sit around. They don't want to do any serving for the Lord. They don't want to do any giving. They just want to sit around waiting for Satan to clap them upside the head. Do you realize that you grow, your maturity, is in exercising your anointing. Somebody better hear me today. In using your spiritual gifts. That helps you to grow and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ to where you start thinking more like Christ, start speaking more like Christ, start looking more like Christ, start acting more like Christ because you're serving more like Christ. Yeah, this man went to praising God. And verse 9 says, and all of the people saw him walking and praising God. Yeah, his leaping went to laboring so that others could come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Yeah, his leaping went to laboring. Good God Almighty, don't go from lame, praise God, and sit down. Start leaping. Start laboring for the Lord. Amen. Yeah, when God enters your fight. When God moves on your behalf. Yeah, when God shakes things up and changes things in your life. Go from lame to leaping and laboring. Yeah, go from lame to leaping. And laboring for the Lord. Verse 9 of the fourth chapter gives us insight. And then we're going to go back up to the early part of verse 4 of chapter 4. But 9, Peter and them asked the question. They said, if we are on trial today for benefit done to a sick man as to how this man was made well. Mm-hmm. Do you hear that? Mm-hmm. They put them on trial. They threw them in jail and put them on trial for simply causing a sick man to be well in the name of Jesus. See, because after the sick man got well, the scripture says in that third chapter that people were astonished and amazed. And Peter was, the Holy Ghost got a hold of Peter and asked him, what you all shocked about?
Yeah.
This same Jesus is the one who was teaching and preaching and healing in your midst, who you crucified. The same Jesus who healed this man. Why are you amazed? Why are you shocked? And the scripture reveals that the church leadership. See, sometimes somebody gonna make me walk in here. If people aren't careful, they'll get locked into religion rather than righteousness. They'll get locked into truth, tradition rather than truth. See, these religious leaders were just that, they were religious. The righteousness comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. They wasn't concerned about the truth of God. They were focused on their tradition, okay? And tradition rejects Jesus Christ. Oh, you better hear me today. I say tradition rejected Jesus Christ. That's why they crucified him on Calvary's cross. Let me put a pin where I'm going for just a moment. Anytime you come into an intersection and you have truth going one way and tradition going another, you make sure you go with truth and leave tradition to those folk who want it.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. Don't let them carry you down the road of their tradition unless you lose sight of what truth is. Huh? Don't get locked into trying to make man happy and displease God. God is pleased with truth. Huh? With his truth being in our lives, not man's tradition. Now, there are some traditions that honor the truth of God. The way that you determine or distinguish those is the ones that line up with God's word and the ones that do not. The ones that do not line up with God's word, then you let them, let whoever's holding that tradition go right on holding it. But you go with truth. That might mean that you're unpopular with a person or two, but I'd rather be unpopular with man and be right with God than to be unpopular with God and right with man. Amen, somebody. Yeah. So the scripture says here that in verse 4 of this chapter 4, it says, "But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000.
Come on, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So yeah, Peter and John got through in jail for preaching the word of God. For teaching and preaching and healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They got put in jail. Can I stop long enough to tell you that if God is in your fight, then the enemy of God is going to be fighting you? Hey, you better hear me today. I said if God is in you, when God is in your fight, and as Christians, God is in our fight. So you better understand that the enemy of God, that is Satan, is an enemy of you. Because God is in your fight. And that's what Peter and John experienced with these religious leaders who were focused on tradition. They started fighting against Peter and John because Satan was influencing their lives, but God was influencing Peter and John's.
Amen.
You better understand the clear distinction.
Amen.
Yeah, men will fight you for religion. Because of religion and tradition. But you just hold your ground.
Amen.
And let God fight your battle because God is on the side of truth.
Amen.
Because his name is attached to it.
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says in the sixth chapter of John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me."
Amen.
But understand that your labor is not going to be in vain.
Amen.
Amen. When God is in your fight, your labor will never be in vain. 5,000 people accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because Peter and John kept on living the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Teaching the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as a result of that, 5,000 souls came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm leaping now and praising God myself.
Hallelujah.
To know that God can use us. He can use me. He can use you.
Amen.
To change somebody's not only destiny and time, but their eternal destiny by just simply living for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And walking and bearing his testimony in your life. 5,000 souls were saved because two men was living for Jesus. Can I get you to live for Jesus today? Amen, somebody. Can I get you to live for Jesus today? Oh, bless the Lord's name. Bless his holy name. And the scripture says, and it came about on the next day that their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. Here in Acts, the 4th chapter and the 5th verse, going to verse 6 now. And Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of high priestly descent. And when they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this?
All right,
here, all of these folk of power, with the power to cause these folk to live or die. You want to talk about a hot seat? That's a hot seat. Don't ever be afraid of being put in the hot seat for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be afraid of the world wanting to shine the light on you. And through these different avenues nowadays of technology, through social media and the like, folk can sure enough put some folk on some hot seats. Amen, somewhere. Yeah, quicker than ever now, because technology is advanced for folk who will die and live for Jesus. Matter of fact, the Bible says that for those who do the will of God, they become the aim of evil. Amen. Evil will go after folk who wants to do God's will. You need to be aware of that.
Amen.
Like I said, when God is in your fight, then the enemy of God is going to fight against you. You need to know that.
Amen.
But know that we have already defeated the enemy.
Amen.
Know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Right.
And every tongue that rise you shall condemn.
Amen.
For that is our heritage in the Lord.
Amen.
Thus declares the Lord God Most High.
Amen.
Yeah, they can gather against you, but it won't do them any good. Yeah. Yeah, they wanted to know by what power or in what name have you done this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. Before you in good health. They didn't want him teaching and preaching the name of Jesus, and he's teaching and preaching Jesus to them. Amen.
Amen.
No matter where you find yourself, you keep on teaching and preaching Jesus. Amen. Verse 11 says, he is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Good God Almighty.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no other name, in heaven by which you must be saved.
Hallelujah.
See, the devil does not want salvation to come to mankind. So what better way to stop folk from being saved by the only way that God has given? He's saying you teach and preach all you want. Hoop, holler, do whatever you want to do. But just don't tell folk about Jesus.
Don't tell them about Jesus.
Do you hear me? That's what the religious folk are telling them. Because they're being moved by Satan. Satan don't have a problem with teaching and preaching.
He has a problem when folk teach and preach the word of God. When they proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To where they compel men to receive him as Lord and Savior. To accept him, to live for him, to give their lives to him. Who gave his life for them. Yeah, God loves you. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's our way of loving God right back. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, according to John 3:16. God loved us enough to give us Jesus. We love him back by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And while I'm there, let me put a pin where I'm going. I don't mean lip service. I don't mean with one's mouth. Because to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, lordship means that he's the one who we obey. Let me explain what I mean by that. Whatever God's word says, that settles every matter for the believer. If God says that you shall not kill, then that settles it for us. If God say, if the word of God says you shall not steal, that settles it for us. If the word of God says you shall not do this and you shall not do that and you shall do this and you shall do that, then whatever God's word, that's what we, the believer, aligns themselves with God and his word. That's what it means to have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not just a Christian in name only, but Christian in life and living. That's the reason for which Jesus Christ was given and the reason why he died on Calvary's cross, that we might have life and life more abundantly. God is not telling us not to do something because he's trying to keep something from us. God is telling us not to do something because he's trying to get something to us. Amen. And the thing that he gets to us, he's wanting to be able to get through us. Amen. When a parent sees, any parent who loves their child, if they've got a small child that then started walking and all this kind of stuff, and if that baby go toward something like a heater or a stove or something that's going to hurt them, they're going to say, no, tap the hand. No, you can't do that. Don't do that. They're not saying no because they want to deprive the child of something. They're saying no because they don't want to see the child hurt. They want to see them have a life that doesn't have to deal, that's not marred and bruised and battered and to have to suffer things that they don't have to suffer. But they want them to have the blessedness and the joy and the happiness and the peace that goes with knowing better and therefore doing better. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, you say salvation is in no other name other than the name of Jesus Christ. Pull this pen for a moment. Verse 12 says in this fourth chapter that there's no other name by which men must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Well, what does it mean to be saved? Amen, somebody. Yeah, what does it mean to be saved? First and foremost, we understand from just a general perspective that salvation reflects not only to time but to eternity. Amen, church. Amen. And I want to inform you that it not only deals with salvation from the standpoint of our souls, but God has given salvation as it relates to our lives. He want, the word salvation literally translates deliverance. Amen. See, God wants to deliver his children from every snare, amen, from every pit. Amen. He wants to deliver them from every sickness, every disease. That's what it means to be saved. Amen. To live life in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, where victory abounds and where there is no defeat. Amen.
The word salvation translated out of the Greek also, it literally means, it's the word skalazo, and it means to take a holiday. Somebody better pray with me. Oh, you better hear me today. It means to take a holiday. To be at leisure. See, when I thought that initially that when I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that it was going to be some kind of hardship on me. I'd have to do this and I'd have to do that and I'd have to. But God said, take a holiday. Amen. Go on and get saved. Amen. And be at leisure. That's why Jesus said in Matthew, the 11th chapter, he's in the 28th verse, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God is saying, take a holiday. Stop living life hard and rough and cruel. Take a holiday. Be at leisure. Give yourself a break. Yeah. That's what it means to be saved. That you don't have to try to do it in your strength. Amen. Because God's already done it and he is. Amen. You don't have to fight the battle in your strength. Because God's already won it and he is. Amen. Yeah, take a holiday. Amen. Be still and let God fight the battle. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, it's the word skalazo. It not only means to take a holiday and to be at leisure, but it means to vacate. That is to praise God, to be empty and to give self. Yeah, to empty. God said the only way that folk can take a holiday is that they rid themselves of themselves. Oh, y'all better hear me today. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Yeah, they rid themselves of themselves. See, the biggest problem with most folk is they full of themselves. and that's why they keep on running into brick walls. That's why they keep on running into one barrier after another. Why they keep on falling in one hole after another, one pit after another, because they full of themselves. They keep trying to make self happy. They keep trying to fulfill self rather than fulfill Christ. Yeah, the word skalazo means to empty yourself. Go on and be at leisure. Give yourself a holiday, why don't you? Amen. By accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And walking in his righteousness. Walking in his holiness. Walking in his uprightness. Walking in his pureness. Walking in the blessing that God has reserved in Christ and Christ alone. Oh, bless his holy name today. Yeah, when God is in the fight. Yeah, when God is in the fight. I don't know about you today, but I'm mighty grateful. And I'm mighty thankful to God for being in my fight. Because there have been many times in my life when what I endured was too difficult for me. Smart as I am, I couldn't figure it out.
That's right.
Strong as I am, I couldn't work it out. As strong-willed as I am, I couldn't carry it out. But God, being rich in mercy, has given us the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives so that we can take a break, be at leisure, and make life a holiday. Bless his holy name. When God is in the fight.